Peter's fall and everyone's call are the subjects of today's gospel story. Peter's fall follows right on the heels of his declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter has just been told that he is blessed, that he is the rock on which Christ's church will be built, and he has been given the keys of the kingdom with authority to bind and loose on earth as it is in heaven. A day or two, or maybe only an hour or two later, we see Jesus turning to Peter and saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." How quickly the blessed rock becomes a satanic stumbling block. How did this happen? After the revelation of Jesus' true identity in Caesarea Philippi, that strange city devoted to the worship of the emperor and a half-goat, half-human deity, Jesus tells the disciples he is bound for Jerusalem, where he will suffer, be killed, and raised up by God. Peter rebukes Jesus for saying these things. Get that? Peter chews Jesus out. Seriously, who does he think he is? Has all the praise about being a blessing and a rock gone to his head? Does he think that having the keys to the kingdom means he can tell Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, what he should be doing? Is this Peter's attempt to loose Jesus from suffering and death and bind him to a different path? Is Peter unwittingly tempting Jesus? See, "Get behind me, Satan," sounds an awful lot like Jesus' response to the devil in the desert, "Satan, be gone." Scary thought. The blessed disciple who is open to revelations from God is also capable of being the devil's mouthpiece and a stumbling block to Christ's mission. Divinely inspired insight falls before human reasoning, motivated, yes, by his deep love of Jesus and his desire to hang on to Jesus as long as humanly possible. Most of us identify with Peter. We might wonder why Jesus comes down so hard on him. After all, Peter is only human, and so can't help relying on human reasoning. I wonder, though, if Jesus' harsh words emerge from Jesus' own very human wrestling with his mission and his call to be the Christ. After all, Jesus was hardly skipping down the road shouting, "Yippee, here we go to Jerusalem to suffer and die." We know that was not the case. He was still agonizing and praying for another way on the very night before he was crucified. I'm sure Jesus must have wondered, "What if I just stay here in Galilee, preaching and teaching, healing and feeding hungry people? It's going pretty well." Jesus hears in Peter's rebuke the same voice that whispered in the desert, "If you are really the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, why don't you try this?" The same voice that whispered in the garden, "When you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." Adam and Eve fell for it. Peter fell for it. Jesus did not. Peter's fall sets the stage for everyone's call. This is the moment when Jesus invites everyone who wishes to come behind him to deny themselves, take up their own cross, and follow him. And what do we make of our call? It is our call, everyone's call, including ours, to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Jesus. William Paul Young's book, lies we believe about God includes a chapter exposing the lie that the cross was God's idea. He writes, "Let us be unequivocally clear, there is nothing good about a cross. It was devised as a torture machine to implement the most profound humiliation and abuse. Its purpose was solely to keep a human being alive as long as possible and in as much pain as possible until his very breath, his very spirit, was viciously ripped from his body through excruciating suffocation. This deviant device is the iconic manifestation of our blind commitment to darkness. It is our ultimate desecration of the good and loving intention of God to create. It is the ultimate fist raised against God. It is here, at our very worst, at the deepest and darkest place of our diabolical imprisonment to our own lies, that God meets us, not in wrath, but in love and mercy, not to condemn, but to transform, not to kill, but to give us new life. Everyone's call is to take up their own cross, to admit and claim the lies and the darkness we hide deep within ourselves, the pain, suffering, shame, and disappointments that we've experienced, the pain, suffering, shame, and disappointments we've inflicted on others. These are the crosses that each of us bears, but hardly ever admit or claim consciously. And as long as we don't take them up consciously, we unconsciously inflict them on others, multiplying the hurts and increasing the brokenness. Let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, John and I saw the movie Glass Castle. It is based on a memoir by Jeanette Walls recounting the severely dysfunctional childhood she and her siblings experienced. In the movie, Jeanette's father, Rex, is played by Woody Harrelson, who will undoubtedly get an Oscar nomination for playing one of the most wretched characters I've ever seen. Seriously. He is an alcoholic, never manages to hold a job for more than a few months, is bombastic, argumentative, and violent, full of big plans that never materialize. He loves his family, sort of, but doesn't care if they go for days without food. He doesn't care if they live in the most derelict conditions imaginable. In one scene, he pushes his wife out of a second-story window and the kids pull her back inside. In another, he involves his daughter in a pool hustling scam where she just barely avoids being pimped. When Irma, Rex's mother, molests Jeanette's younger brother, Rex yells at the kids instead of dealing with his mother. And Jeanette and the kids begin to suspect that their grandmother may have molested Rex when he was a boy, too. The closest we get to the truth is on Rex's dying admission that he spent his whole life looking for demons in the world around him when all along the demons were inside. Unable to even acknowledge the pain and hurt at the core of his being, Rex Walls spent his life inflicting his suffering on the people he claimed to love the most. This is exactly the opposite of what Jesus invites us to do. Jesus says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." We cannot take up our crosses and follow Jesus into healing and wholeness until we deny, renounce, and let go of ourselves. The best description of what this looks like is found in Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. Letting go of who you think you're supposed to be and embracing who you are. Letting go of who you think you're supposed to be is exactly what Jesus means when he calls us to deny ourselves. The self we need to let go of is the self that worries about what other people will think. The self that wants to be cool and in control. The self that measures itself by what it accomplishes and how well it performs. The self that seeks to numb its pain with alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, shopping, and the list goes on. The self that is ruled by fear and scarcity, worrying about not having enough or being good enough. The self that always compares itself to others, making sure that it's like everyone, but better. And the self whose sense of worth and esteem is tied to its net worth. The list could go on. So what is the good news in Peter's fall and everyone's call? Peter's fall illustrates the truth about us, both blessed and in need of rebuke. One moment, cornerstones, and in the next, stumbling blocks. Simultaneously saint and sinner, yet always beloved of God. Everyone's call is an invitation to consciously and intentionally let go of who we think we're supposed to be, admit and claim the pain and hurt that mark the darkest places and worst moments of our lives, and follow Jesus in allowing God to meet us there, to heal us there, and to lead us into new life. Let me close with a prayer by John Vandalar. It is too easy, God, for faith to become an escape, a way to avoid the pain of being human and alive, or a path to success, a way to persuade the universe to give us the things we want, or a system of control, a way to bend others to our will. But the faith you offer is different, Jesus, more dangerous and compelling. It's the faith that carries the cross, that embraces death and lays itself down for the sake of others. It's the only faith that can lead us to resurrection, to life renewed and overflowing. We praise you for this faith, O God, and open our hearts to receive it. Amen.